Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18. I have been doing a lot of thinking and speaking in the past 6 months or so about Elijah, and we'll be continuing that theme this evening. It is something, the more and more that I've studied him, the more I find great respect for the simple phrases that he utters. And we're going to be looking at one of those phrases this evening, not a phrase, but a statement this evening, that hopefully will challenge us. It's not a complicated message. It's not a detailed message, but it's one that will have, hopefully, profound importance to each of us. So we're looking at 1 Kings chapter 18, and I'm going to read the first 40 verses of the chapter. And it came to pass after many days that the word of Jehovah came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared Jehovah greatly. For it was so, when Jezebel cut off the prophets of Jehovah, that Obadiah took 100 prophets, and hid them by 50 in a cave, and fed them with bread and water. And Ahab said unto Obadiah, Go into the land, unto all fountains of water, and unto all brooks. Peradventure we may find grass, to save the horses and mules alive, that we lose not all the beasts. So they divided the land between them, to pass throughout it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. And as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him. And he knew him, and fell on his face, and said, Art thou that my lord Elijah? And he answered him, I am. Go, tell thy lord, behold, Elijah is here. And he said, What have I sinned, that thou wouldest deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? As Jehovah thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whither my Lord hath not sent to seek thee. And when they said, He is not there, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found thee not. And now thou sayest, Go, tell thy Lord, Behold, Elijah is here. And it shall come to pass, as soon as I am gone from thee, that the Spirit of Jehovah shall carry thee whither I know not. And so when I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find thee, he shall slay me. But I, thy servant, fear Jehovah from my youth. Was it not told my Lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of Jehovah? How I hid 100 men of Jehovah's prophets by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water? And now thou sayest, Go tell thy Lord, Behold, Elijah is here, and he shall slay me. And Elijah said, As Jehovah of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. And it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of Jehovah, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore, send, and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people, and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If Jehovah be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I, even I only, remain a prophet of Jehovah. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them, therefore, give us 2 bullocks. And let them choose 1 bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of Jehovah. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, It is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, Choose you 1 bullock for yourselves, and dress it first, for ye are many. And call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, "Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is on a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awaked." And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and with lancets, till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when the midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, "Come near unto me." And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of Jehovah that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of Jehovah came, saying, "Israel shall be thy name." And with the stones he built an altar in the name of Jehovah, and he made a trench about the altar, as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid him on the wood, and said, "Fill 4 barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice, and on the wood." And he said, "Do it the second time." And they did it the second time. And he said, "Do it the third time." And they did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, "Jehovah, God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Jehovah, hear me, that this people may know that thou art Jehovah God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again." Then the fire of Jehovah fell, and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, "Jehovah, he is the God. Jehovah, he is the God." And Elijah said unto them, "Take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape." And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon, and slew them there. Hopefully, you were able to follow all that took place there. But let me give you an overview of what is going on. So if you remember about Elijah, he had stood before Ahab the first time that we meet him, and he says, "It's not going to rain for 3.5 years except at my word." Israel had sinned. They had broken the covenant that we had read back from Joshua in our scripture reading. They had broken that covenant. They said that they were going to follow because Jehovah was their God. And that covenant said if they do not follow Jehovah, but follow the gods of those nations around them, that God would withhold rain from the land. And that's what Elijah comes to do. He says, "I'm going to withhold rain from the land." Now, there's a number of things that happen intervening that we're not going to look at tonight. But in the beginning of chapter 18, it's time for Elijah to come before Ahab again. God says to Elijah, "Go and show thyself to Ahab, because it's now time for me to send rain upon the earth." And so Elijah starts to go. But we're told that there is a sore famine in the land. There's a famine in Israel. There's a famine in Samaria. Why? Well, because there's been no rain for 3.5 years. So the grass is going to dry up, because the brooks are going to dry up. The rivers are going to get lower and lower. There's nothing to fill the water troughs with. There's nothing to water the crops with. And people are hungering and thirsting. And Ahab says to his servant Obadiah, "Obadiah, we've got a problem. We don't have anything to feed the animals, and we're in danger of not just people dying, but of the animals dying. Those animals are keeping us alive. We need to keep the animals alive. You go one way, and you look for grass. And I'll go the other way, and I'll look for grass. And we'll search out the land to see if there's anywhere where we can graze the animals to keep them alive." And so they depart. Obadiah goes one way, and Ahab goes the other way. And as Obadiah is going, he meets Elijah on the way, and he recognizes him immediately. Now think about this. Ahab has been searching for Elijah for 3.5 years. He has been looking high and low. And Obadiah says to Elijah, "I can't believe I'm seeing you. I can't believe you're here. My master's been searching every nation." And he goes to those nations and says, "You need to look for Elijah. And when you're done looking for him, you need to swear an oath to me that you haven't found him. Because if I find out he was in your country, I'm coming to fight you. I'm coming to war against you. And he's saying this to all the nations round about. All the nations are saying, no, Elijah's not here. We don't want any trouble. Elijah's not here. And so they're searching everywhere and they can't find Elijah. And Obadiah says, what do you want? And Elijah says, to go tell your master. Go tell your master that I'm here, that I'm going to stand before him today. And Obadiah says, have I sinned? Have I done something to you? Have I done something against God that he's going to bring my sin upon me? Because I know exactly what's going to happen. As soon as I leave you and I go tell Ahab that Elijah's here, Ahab turns around and he comes looking for you where you are. The Spirit of God has taken you somewhere else. He's zipped you away to some other location. He said, don't you understand? I follow Jehovah. Yes, Ahab's my master, but I trust Jehovah. I've done it from my youth. And in fact, when Jezebel was killing all the prophets of God, I actually did my best to save some. I saved 100 of them. It seems like they most likely died later, but not on Obadiah's account. Obadiah is following after God. And Elijah says, Obadiah, there's nothing to worry about. I'm not going anywhere. Tell Ahab this is where I am. Now, think about that for a moment. Who's the king? Well, Ahab's the king. Ahab's the one that's in charge. He's the one that's been going around threatening all the nations around looking for Elijah. And Elijah says, tell Ahab to come over this way, where I am. You would think Elijah would go to the king, but no, the king comes to Elijah. And Ahab comes to Elijah and he says, I finally found you, the one who is troubling Israel. And you think, well, he's got a point, right? Because there's been no rain for 3.5 years. But Elijah says, I'm not the troubler. You're the troubler. Because you have led the people away from God. You have served Baal. You've served the gods of those around you. Now I want you to consider, who is Baal? Baal is actually the storm god. Baal can take many forms in the nations around Israel. But the ones that Ahab, the Baal that Ahab is worshiping, is this storm god. He is the one that is in charge of the rain. He's in charge of the crops because of that. And yet there's been no rain for 3.5 years. And Elijah says, you're the troubler of Israel because you're worshiping Baal. You're worshiping him and you've got so many prophets. They're all following after him instead of following after God. And then Elijah gives Ahab a command. He says, now this is what you're going to do. You're going to send and you're going to go collect the 450 prophets of Baal that are around. And you're going to go collect the 400 prophets of the grove that are around. And you're going to gather them together. And you're going to send messages to all of Israel. And we're all going to gather on Mount Carmel. And I want you to do that right now. So get moving. And Ahab goes. Ahab obeys Elijah. He goes and does exactly as he's told. He gathers all the prophets together. He gathers all the people together to Mount Carmel. And when all the people are together, Elijah doesn't speak to the prophets. He speaks to the people. In verse 21 it says, how long halt ye between two opinions? If Jehovah be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And he wants the people to understand that there's a difference. There's a difference between worshiping Jehovah while worshiping some other god. That is not that it doesn't go together. It doesn't mesh. It is God alone and no one else. And he says, if Jehovah's God, worship him alone. If Baal's God, worship him alone. How long are you going to keep going with these two opinions? And the people don't say a word. Now you think about it, if the people had a mind for God, they would have sat back and said, you know what? Baal is supposed to be the one that's supposed to bring us rain. He's the one that's supposed to be in charge of the weather. For 3.5 years we haven't had any rain. Why are we still worshiping him? He hasn't done us any favors. He hasn't done us any good. And yet, that is not what they say. So, Elijah, he says to the people, okay, here it is, I'm the last prophet of God. I'm the last prophet of Jehovah. Over here, you've got 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of the grove. So this is what we're going to do. They're going to provide two bullocks, one for them and one for me. We're going to sacrifice those bulls. We're going to cut them up. We're going to put them on an altar each. Get the wood around. But we're not going to light a fire. And whoever's God answers by fire, Well, then he's truly God. Does that make sense to the people? And the people said, that sounds great. He doesn't ask Ahab. He doesn't ask the prophets. He asks the people. And the people says that that makes perfect sense. If there's a God that can answer by fire like that, we'll serve that God. So the people agree. And so Elijah turns to the prophets and says, you know what? You guys choose which bullock you want. You get your choice, so that there's no saying, oh, you know what, you chose the better one, Elijah. No, you choose first, and you go ahead and you go first, and then I'll go second. There's a lot of you, there's only one of me, it's going to take me longer to do everything, is the impression that he gives. And so they gather together, and they get the bullock, and they cut the bullock up, and they build an altar, and they put wood around the altar, and they lay the bullock on there, and they start calling out to Baal. And all morning they're calling out to Baal. Nobody answers. There's no voice. There's no one that says a word. And they call out and they call out. Around lunchtime, midday, Elijah says, you know what, guys? Maybe you should talk. Maybe you should scream. Maybe he's on a vacation. Maybe he's asleep. Maybe he's doing something else. And you just got to be a little louder. You know, maybe that's what the answer is. And so the prophets of Baal, they say, all right, let's do it. And they start jumping on the altar, and they start screaming and being as loud as they can all afternoon. And they start getting knives, and they think by cutting themselves and pouring their blood upon the bullock and upon the altar, that Baal will say, wow, they're really serious, I'm going to answer now. And yet there's still no voice. There's no one that answers. There's no one that says anything. And so when the evening comes, at the time of the evening sacrifice, when it's time in Jerusalem, see, in Jerusalem there's a morning sacrifice and there's an evening sacrifice. So at the time of the evening sacrifice, is what we're told here, Elijah says, okay, now it's my turn. Baal hasn't answered. He hasn't said a word. Now it's my turn. And so he says, he calls all the people, draw near. I want you to all observe what I'm doing. And he says, I'm going to rebuild the altar of Jehovah. So there must have been some altar that was there at some point. We don't know from who or from where. But he says, I want you to understand something. Here are 12 stones. And he stacks these 12 stones up. Now think about it for a moment. How many tribes are there in Israel? In the combined nation, there's 12. But in the northern kingdom, there's only 10. There's two tribes of the southern kingdom. But Elijah is saying to the people of Israel, you know, this isn't the way it's supposed to be. You know, the worship is in Jerusalem, where the temple is. Because all the tribes are part of the nation of Israel. The 12 sons of Jacob. That's the nation. So he says, I'm gathering 12 stones together. And I'm going to build this altar. And he does so. And he cuts the bullock. And he puts it upon the altar. And he lays the wood around. And he digs a trench around it. And he said, now I want you to do something else. I want you to get 4 barrels of water. And I want you to pour those 4 barrels over top of the sacrifice. And so they gather 4 barrels of water and they pour it over the sacrifice. He says, do it a second time. Do it a second time. He says, do it a third time. And they do it a third time. How many barrels is that? That's 12 barrels of water that have been poured over the sacrifice. It's not an accident that that's how many times it is. He's reminding them how many tribes of Israel there are. That they shouldn't be worshiping Baal on some mountain. They should be worshiping Jehovah in Jerusalem. And so they pour the water on, and the trench that he had dug around the altar, around the wood, is filled up with water. Everything is soaked as much as it possibly can be. And then Elijah prays. And he prays, and he says, Jehovah, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. He is obeying God. Everything that he's done, he's obeying God. Even when he's mocking the prophets of Baal, he's obeying God. He's saying that this is exactly the way it's supposed to be. There should be no other God in Israel but Jehovah. And he says, hear me, O Jehovah, hear me, that this people may know that thou art Jehovah God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. You know, he doesn't even ever, at one point, ask God to bring fire down. He doesn't cry out, oh Jehovah, bring fire down from heaven. He says, God, I just want everybody to know that you're God. That you're the God of Israel. That you are the one, and that you are turning their hearts back again. And as soon as he says that, fire comes down. Fire comes down and consumes the sacrifice. But it doesn't just consume the sacrifice, it consumes the wood around the altar. It doesn't just consume the wood, it consumes the stones. They're gone. They're taken up by the fire. It doesn't just consume the stones, it consumes all the water that's in the trench. It doesn't just consume all the water that's in the trench, it consumes the dirt that the altar was built upon. All of it is consumed by the fire of God that falls down. And all the people, they say, Jehovah, He is the God. That's the language that they're using. Not He is a God or He is the God of Israel. No, He is the God. He is God alone. There is no other. That's the language that they're using there. And Elijah, he then commands the people to capture all the false prophets. And they capture all 850 of them. And they take them down the hill where the brook is running, where the brook should be running. And he slays them there. He slays all 850. And that's the judgment of God upon them. Because they are leading the people astray to worship a false god. And so that's the narrative. That's the story of what's taking place. But I want you to think a moment upon the people. Because God had done so much for Israel. God had done so much from taking Abraham all the way through Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, keeping them safe while in Egypt, bringing them out with a strong hand with the plagues that were upon the Egyptians, taking them through the water that's parted side by side, they're going through on dry ground. He does so much, even just up to that point. But then all the miracles in the wilderness, and all the help conquering the nation, and all of the things that have gone on when it comes to the judges, when it comes to the kings, David and Solomon, so much that God has done. He's placed His name upon them. And He says, just don't stray. Don't serve false gods. Trust Me alone. And the people, they don't do it. They worship Baal. They'll still worship Jehovah, but they're worshiping Baal as well. They're worshiping both. They're kind of hedging their bets. They didn't stop worshiping God, but they also worshiped Baal. And they also worshiped Ashtaroth. And they also worshiped Molech and other gods of those that were around them. Because they wanted to make sure they didn't miss anybody. And Jehovah sends Elijah. And Elijah says, you know what? If Jehovah is God, then worship Him. If Baal is God, then worship Him. He's saying, if our God is not strong enough that you feel the need to worship other gods, then don't worship Him if He's not strong enough. If He's not big enough to meet your needs, you shouldn't be worshiping Him. If Baal is strong enough, then go worship Baal. But if Jehovah is truly God, you better be worshiping Jehovah. And that's what he says to them in verse 21. And Elijah came unto the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If Jehovah be God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. You see, those people, as well as us, are people of two opinions. We hear all the things that the world says. And they say, you know what? Jehovah's not God. Baal is God. Now, they don't call him Baal. They say, oh, it's climate change. They don't call him Baal. They'll say, it's evolution. They don't call him Baal. They'll say, oh, it's money. They'll claim all sorts of things that we ought to be paying more attention to than God. And they'll say, you know what? You know what? The Bible's nice, but you don't have to believe all of it. Because, you know, we've got all this evidence about evolution over here. And there are people that I know that follow that. They say, you know what? Yeah, we're going to fit God into what man says. We're going to fit this image of God that we have from the Bible. And you know what? It says, evolution tells me that it's been around for 4.5 billion years. So I'm going to knock this little part of God off. I'm going to knock this part of God off because it doesn't fit this image over here. And I'm going to knock this little part of God off when it talks about the miracles and talks about prophecy because, you know, that just doesn't happen. And so I'm going to worship, instead of Jehovah, I'm going to worship this image of God that I have. Because I'm not just worshiping Him, I'm worshiping all of these things. And it doesn't sound like worship today, but it is. It's no different than worshiping Baal. When we give our minds and give our thoughts over and say, you know what, the Bible just isn't accurate when it talks about God creating the world in 6 days, we're giving our minds over to Baal. We're giving our minds over to a false god. When we sit back and say, you know what, the world wasn't covered by a flood for all at the same time, we're doing the same thing again. We're saying, you know what, this makes more sense than God's version does. Those two things don't go together. And that's what Elijah is telling the people. How long are you going to halt between two opinions? How long are you going to be trying to merge the world with God? It doesn't work that way. If the world's right, then go. If it's evolution, if it's all these other things, if it's all that we've got to be concerned about all these things in the world and not about God, then go follow that. But if Jehovah's God, if what he says is true, then we best be following him. That's exactly what Elijah is saying. If man has the answers, then we should seek the wisdom of man. If man has figured out that God didn't create the universe, but the Big Bang did it, well, then we should be looking at man as our God. Well, that's exactly what's going on in the world today. Elijah's saying, how long are you going to halt between two opinions? How long are you going to make God smaller than he is? How long are you going to sit there and say, no, I'm not going to take this part of the Bible because it doesn't fit? No, God is God. He's Jehovah. He is almighty. That's what that word means. He has all might. He has all power. He's able to do whatever he wants to do, whenever he wants to do it, however long he wants it to take. It could take him 6 days. It could have taken him 6 billion years if he wanted it to. But guess what he would have done? He would have told us it took him 6 billion years. He could have taken 6 seconds. But instead he chose 6 days. It wasn't because of a lack of power. I think it's fascinating when you read the creation story and when it says, and he hung the stars in place. It's just like that. The earth was his centerpiece. Man was his centerpiece. The universe that everybody's so fascinated with, it's like, oh yeah, I'm going to put the stars up there, and there they are. That wasn't his focus. Who was? What was? We were. If Jehovah be God, then follow him. If God has the answers, where should we seek wisdom from? And it's not from the scientists. It's not from those who are trying to say, oh no, that's allegory, that's not true. No, Jesus didn't do these miracles. No, you know, there's no such thing as prophecy of being able to tell what's going to happen before it happens. If God has the answers, we should seek the wisdom of God. Proverbs 1, the fear of Jehovah is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. It's foolish. It's foolish to sit back and think, no, I'm going to be smarter than God. Our lives, the span of our lives are a twinkle in the eyes of God. Barely even that. We get 70 years, some people get 80, some people get 90, close to 100. In the grand scheme of things, how long is that? How much can you figure out in 100 years? Quite a bit when you're considering it from man's perspective. But next to nothing when you're considering it from God's perspective. So whose wisdom should we seek? Should we seek man's wisdom or God's wisdom? In Proverbs 3, the writer says, trust in Jehovah with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Don't think you're smart enough. Don't think you've got it figured out. Because guess what? I can tell you from experience, besides the word of God, you don't have it figured out. You might have a few things, but you don't have it all. And you're not going to have it all. It's impossible for you to have it all. And so what do? You rely on those who have some. And you rely on the book that has wisdom that we need. The largest psalm is Psalm 119. And I believe it's 5 verses. All but 5 verses from Psalm 119 talk about the Word of God. But I want to read you a few verses from Psalm 119, starting in verse 129. Thy testimonies are wonderful. Therefore doth my soul keep them. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I long for thy commandments. Look thou upon me and be merciful unto me, as thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Deliver me from the oppression of man, so will I keep thy precepts. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant, and teach me thy statutes. Rivers of waters run down mine eyes, because they keep not thy law. The focus of the writer is the word of God. Why? Because he knows this is where we learn about God. This is where we draw close to God. We pray, we sing praise unto God, but everything we know about God comes from where? This book. It all comes from here. This is his wisdom. This is what he's teaching us. And we're going to sit back and say, no, no, parts of it, you know what, they're just not real. Well, that's just foolishness. That's just doing the same thing that those people did with Baal and Jehovah. They're saying, you know what, I can't just worship Jehovah. I've got to worship Baal too. I've got to worship these other gods as well. Because just in case, I'm going to cover my bases. Well, you're going to shrink God down because you don't think he's big enough? Because you don't think he's more powerful enough? Well, then why are you worshiping him? Why are you following after him? Go worship evolution. Go worship man. Go worship all the false things that the world talks about. Because it's not worthwhile for you to sit and hear the word of God if that's the way you feel. Worship him. How long will you halt between two opinions? If Jehovah be God, then worship him. If he's God, follow him. And follow him with your whole heart. Not part of it. Not just a piece. Follow him with all of it. In every aspect of your life. It is only through him. It is only through his son, Jesus Christ, that we can find any peace, any wisdom, any true understanding of who God is. And so we point you to him tonight. Amen.